Hello and welcome back to the My Entertainment World podcast. We have another episode of the nominee interview series for you today. Today I spoke with Dana Lee Hoffman, who is the co-creator and one of the performers in Rat Academy, which was my favorite, very favorite thing I saw at the 2024 Toronto Fringe Festival. And they are nominated for Outstanding Performance and Outstanding Production in this year's Critics Pick Awards for 2024. So I hope you enjoy our chat and I'll see you on the other side. So I always start with the same question, which is, do you remember your first experience with theater?
I guess my first experience with theater was in high school. I was always like, I didn't know where to belong in high school, eighth grade. I was like, I don't know what to do. I was playing a lot of video games and I decided on a whim to join the theater company because I had done a lot of film and TV acting as a young child and had since put that stuff down. So I joined theater and we wrote our own musical and that was my first experience.
And how did you get into clown? And tell us a little bit about some of your training in that world.
Yeah, so with clown, I was, as soon as I graduated high school, I started working at Vancouver Circus School, which is a circus arts place. And I was doing administration there because I had no skills to offer. However, while I was administrating, I was learning juggling on the side, and I really wanted to incorporate myself into that company more, but with a discipline that no one else could do. So I reached out to a clown teacher in Edmonton named Jan Henderson, and I took a 2-week baby clown course. Where my clown was born there. And yeah, since then I've sort of never left Edmonton. I've stuck around here. And there's so much clowning going on here that I'm always learning more. There's lots of teachers out here. And that was 7 years ago now.
And how did your partnership with Katie Yonner come about?
Yeah, so Katie and I had no idea who the other one was when we first moved in with each other. We were both in our BFA undergraduate studies in acting, and I had organized this house of like 5 actors and a stage manager. So I needed someone else, and someone recommended Katie, who was coming from Calgary. So all of us got along really well in that house, the 6 of us, but Katie and I specifically hit it off because I learned that she could juggle. So we started juggling together and we started like making little juggling turns that ended up going to like the outdoor stage at Edmonton Fringe where we were juggling there. And then I was like, hey, I have this really weird idea. Do you want to be a goose to the Joey high status clown, low status clown? And from there, we just went off and, you know, Rat Academy is now where it's at.
So tell us about the genesis of Rat Academy.
Yeah, so that began as a COVID project. While I was in school, we had a unit on clown. And because we couldn't be there in person with our instructor, he asked us to make videos. So I was like, how am I going to do this? I don't quite understand it. I found a few costume pieces, which was this big fur coat and this really gross piece of guts, which ended up being the tail. And I made a short film about a rat living in a residential unit of this house that I was actually living in at the time. And so all of my roommates joined in and they're like, yeah, this rat's our roommate. And it was really like interesting because in Alberta, there are no rats at all. So that was kind of the commentary I was making on it. But it was just a little silly clown film that's still up on my YouTube channel. And that's kind of where the first character of Fingers came from.
So do Fingers and Shrimp have like other adventures they go on, or are they always rats? Like, how does it work?
So they're always rats. I think we are super grounded in the fact that they are 2 rats living behind one of the most popular bars on the White Avenue strip in Edmonton here. And so that's kind of like where we jumped off from, but they are going to be going on other adventures. We're currently in the midst of writing our next show for those 2 characters.
And so tonal dissonance is a key aspect of Rat Academy, which is both absurdly goofy and incredibly sad. Can you tell us a little bit about striking that balance?
It wasn't easy. I remember the first iteration of Rat Academy was only 30 minutes long. And we had 3 points of like, we're going to teach this, we're going to teach this, we're going to teach this. And then finally, Shrimp is going to fail and nearly die. So we had that really solid, but then we needed more power for that character. So there was a 3-week process in which we were adding on probably 30 more minutes of performance to that original 30 so that we could have that hour. And the relationship from there just blossomed. And I think the tonal dissonance came from the characters themselves. We weren't sure how it was going to be received. That wasn't something we were totally thinking about at the time. We just wanted to tell this story. And Katie's character being so loving and Fingers being so hard and then soft again at the end, I think really helped us with achieving that.
So you mentioned this a little bit when you were talking about the genesis of the characters, but can you give us some more insight into the costuming and how it affects your performance, especially that mouthpiece?
Oh yeah. So the mouthpieces are actually just it's like you can get this moldable plastic on Amazon that heats up in hot water and you can move it around. We basically just looked up how to make your own dentures. So we use denture glue and we like glue those to our teeth that are specifically formed. The balaclavas have these hair bands in them with the rat ears that our costume designer Megan Sweet made. And then our coats. My coat is actually one of Mike Kennard's clown pieces from a box. And he is one half of Mump and Smoot, the Canadian clown duo. And then we wanted something similar for Katie, so we drifted for a while until we found the right balance. And then we sewed together some fuzzy pants. And actually, another really important part of my costume is the tail for Fingers is an original gut from one of Mump and Smoot's older shows.
Is it difficult to execute the performance with all of the stuff on?
Sometimes we now have in our rider, it's like the venue must be air conditioned because when we're touring around in the summer, we learned this in our first like debut performance at Edmonton Fringe. We cannot perform in those costumes with no air conditioning. We sweat so much because it's also such a physical show. Our body is doing a lot, and the screaming and the yelling and the voices are hard to maintain. So that makes me sweat already. But as all those things combine, we overheat. So before the shows, we always make sure to get liquid IV or Gatorade or something with electrolytes so that we can, satisfy that in ourselves and keep up our bodies.
Do you have a favorite moment in the show?
Oh gosh, there was this one time in Saskatoon when we were performing. I always like call out the parents at a certain point in the show, but there was this one kid who just wouldn't be quiet. He was really annoying and he was trying to be funny and it wasn't working. But I have to like cover shrimp and then scream at him and tell him to be quiet. And so once I had done that, I looked over to the kid and I was like, "Is that your kid?" And I was pointing at his dad. He's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "You get it. You understand." And so his dad like laughed so hard, and that was a one of my favorite moments. But there's so much that happens every show. We keep a log of our favorite things that occur because of the nature of improv.
What are some of the rewards and challenges of producing at the Fringe?
Fringe is one of the best places to test something that you don't know how it's going to be received. We would never have done a professional tour had we not learned to tour throughout Fringe. So it was great for finding out that the work has legs and learning how to produce in a safe space. And like a financially safe space where you'll have at least some return on what you've invested into the project. Challenges that I've never been so sweaty or so tired. Fringe is a whirlwind, and I recommend it to all emerging artists to do it, but it's not always going to be like that for sure.
What were you hoping audiences would take away from the show?
It's really for us about friendship. And about having someone else that you can rely on and trust. A deeper meaning for the show for me and for Katie too is the show is very much inspired by our relationship as roommates and how we've grown together over the course of 4 and 5 years. And also our relationships with our mothers trying to want us to be a certain way, like, oh, you can't do theater, you need to do this. That was like the starting thread, the bone of the whole show that has since, been covered with this layer of comedy. But that's what I think is most important for it. That's for me, like all of that inner stuff. The comedy is for everyone else because I feel like people need to come to the theater to laugh and let off.
How much can you tell us about the next adventure that you're planning for Fingers and Shrimp?
Yeah. So right now, I can say that our working title is called Rat Academy Gnaw and Order. We're not sure where it's going to go yet, but we do have a script planned out. We're just in the midst of writing grants to start working on the show itself for rehearsing. We have some tentative co confirmations at Edmonton Fringe right now. So I think we'll be doing Edmonton Fringe 2025 just to see if that show will also have legs because it's so hard to appease people who are expecting something specific from you. So we'll see where it goes from there. And yeah, but definitely maybe some trials involved, lots more audience participation, and the characters return and explore their emotions again.
Do you have any other projects or anything else you'd like to plug?
Not currently, no.
Sounds good. And is there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much all I have to say on it. Yeah.
Thank you so much. So that's all for my interview with Dana Lee Hoffman. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to follow myentertainmentworld.ca on socials. We're at myentworld on Twitter and Instagram, myentertainmentworld on Facebook, YouTube, and Pinterest, as well as subscribe on Apple Podcasts so that you can get all of the latest that's going on with the nominee interview series, as well as our ongoing coverage. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you next time.